Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The game of Dungeons & Dragons has been around since the early 70s, is played by an estimated 5 million people. It is also the target of a group of concerned parents in the United States who call themselves BAD, B-A-D-D, bothered about Dungeons & Dragons.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow. And joining me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell here. I'm about to roll a 20-sided die for charisma. Oh, I got a one. Yeah. Speaking of ones...
You get a minus 10 for having that die in your pocket as well.
So, that is the cruel irony.
That's a big disadvantage. Hello, I'm Raylor. Raylor Knox.
Wow. You still called your character... Surname Knox.
I gave him a surname.
Cool. That's cool.
No,
that's
I sick. Named him Dog. I just for some reason name all my characters Dog because mm-hmm. I hate thinking of names. It just takes me 5 hours in a role playing game. Mm. If I have a kid,
you're gonna call it Dog?
No, yeah. We're gonna be there for a long time. I won't put the kid through being called Dog.
Yeah,
it's too loaded. The bounty hunter, the mm-hmm. animal mm. in that order is probably what people will think of.
Mm-hmm. What's the highest sided die you can get? What's the most sided die?
Someone's probably made 1,000-sided die as like a gimmick.
Oh, I reckon there's a... You know how there's a limit to how many times you can fold a piece of paper?
Because at some point it's just a sphere, right? And it's not going to land on the top of anything.
And to see the numbers, it'd have to be huge.
Yeah.
Right. You need a drone hovering above the die.
You can get 100-sided die for sure, but also you can just roll 2 tens and use them as the digits.
Mm.
Yeah. This guy role plays.
This guy math.
Well, what do we got this week? What's going on? Bit of news.
Yes.
I'm really hungover. I have to put my cards. I have to put my die on the table.
He's the Johnny Carson of video games. So fucking who's today?
I'm a bit sleepy, eh?
One of the nightmare births. Week. One having to record a pod the day after going to a Bucks party.
Oh yeah,
hell on earth.
And a real tame Bucks party, from what I can tell.
I was home pretty early, but it started. Early in the afternoon.
Right. And you
and
don't mean like...
We record this on a Thursday, so it started early in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple of people where I was like... It started at 4 PM, and there were a couple of people where I was saying to someone, where's this person and this person? And they were like, at work.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah. It was like 90% comedians and then just like the random like couple of normal friends that this person has just like... Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to just put the punch card in and then I'll head down. Mm.
Nice to know who's worth planning around and who is not.
I'll tell you who's been doing a bit of planning.
Oh, yeah.
The fellas in at Rockstar Games.
They love to... Well, they don't like to plan a lot of announcements often, I suppose. They have it like people are waiting. That's all. That was the end of the sentence, really.
People are waiting for them to plan announcements.
For them to plan announcements for more things. And they announced this week a port of Red Dead Redemption. And I think people got very let down. People did get let down by it, partly because throughout the week, there was stuff of like their website's been updated with a new font.
Yes.
It's the Red Dead Redemption font. There's this map is being...
It got rated in South Korea.
Right.
Yeah. People are like really digging around and did not expect this to be a Switch and PS4 release of a non-changed version of Red Dead Redemption 1.
Mm.
Which is like, it's cool to have games wherever. So that you can play them.
Yeah. That one specifically was hard to get, right? Like, post, off the consoles it was released on.
Yeah.
It's easy to get on the Xboxes because of their backwards compatibility.
Oh,
so you
sure.
can still buy that and the Undead Nightmare thing on the Xbox, just mm-hmm. the 360 versions, which is all that this really is.
Yeah, true.
And it is slightly cheaper than to buy this re-release of it. Whew. People got mad because this is $50.
It's a weird thing where people get mad because they're like, I thought there'd be a remaster and there's not. It's right. like, well, that's not... You thinking it should happen isn't really Rockstar's fault.
No.
You know, people got built up.
It's your own hype that you created. Like, they didn't announce that there was going to be one.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they weren't teasing it. Yeah, it's just like you saw a thing and assumed that it was coming.
I suppose these days they are relatively abnormal for not dipping into the back catalogue and remastering as often as a lot of people do. So I guess from that perspective, it's unusual.
I do think the way they go about things is very weird. Other than their like big... like main new releases, the way they handle their back catalogue, I think they're getting into like, you know, like there's a lot of bad will already for them after the GTA debacle of whenever
That's
that was,
thing.
Last year or the year before.
Because it became evident that they weren't going to work with that studio again who fucked up those GTA re-releases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were remastered to some extent and then also completely broken. So I think people were also excited about this because they're like, yeah, Rockstar are doing it themselves. And they, when they make a game, they care about it.
Right.
But also, no, they don't, because they've been making GTA Online for 10 years now.
Right.
Well, they care about that bottom line.
Yeah.
Oh, they love that bottom. They probably call it the arse line with their twisted sense of humor over at Rockstar.
Yes. I mean, people getting really like upset that it's not going to be a remaster. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, this looks fun. This doesn't look too dated. It looks
right.
It looks fine.
It looks good
like
at the time. Yeah,
super janky. It looks, and you know, it's cool that it's on Switch. Like, it's a cool game to be able to have portable. But I mean, it is weird that again, I think a thing that they haven't done themselves favors with. People are like, well, why is it only 30 frames per second? Mm. Like, if it's running on a PS4, PS5, it should be able to do 60 if they haven't.
Is it
if
that
they
on
haven't
the PS
changed anything about it?
4 and 5 versions as well?
I think it is. I think it's locked at 30, which people are like, you're just straight up copying it over. Like,
yes,
at least
exactly.
make it run a little smoother. And it's like, you can make it look, you know, a smoother frame rate is going to make it look a little more souped up. You know, that does so much work for you in terms of making it feel a bit more next gen.
And people have wanted a PC version forever. Mm-hmm. The thing that you always heard about that game as well was that it was a mess when they made it, and that it was very hard to do anything else with it because the code was such a web.
It seems like they even literally can't go in and just up the frame rate because we can't. The whole thing's hanging together by glue.
But then when they do it being, oh, okay, well, this is just a re-release, and then it's also pretty expensive for that standard of thing. But the CEO of Take-Two was like, we think it's commercially accurate, the price, which is the most cold, I only live in business bubble language that you could have possibly used to
but
describe that.
He is right, though.
Exactly.
I mean,
everyone thinks that way in those positions, but fucking put a little sugar on it, my friend.
I know. People get so annoyed by, I can't believe this is costing this much and it's, you know, it's this old of a game. It's like, well, if you can go in fresh and get a solid experience out of it and get a solid amount of playtime out of it, like, how long is the game? It's like, you know, it's not like paying...
I mean, it's an open world game, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like paying $80 for like a NES game or something. It's like, you're going to get, you know, you are going to get value for money in terms of the amount of time that you're going to put into it if you're enjoying it. And yeah, I mean, there just is... The cost of this stuff is like, it is kind of all over the place. Some, you know, some companies will throw you a bone and put something out at a reduced rate, or, you know, like it, yeah, this isn't uncommon.
Yeah.
It's not
been
like,
done so much at this point that I guess there are expected standards that match what other people have done with it, that they are maybe a little overshooting.
But I think also he's right. You know, it's like, well, yeah, we're going to take a bet on the people who are loudly annoyed at it, either still being in a tiny minority or still buying it.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. It's like, hey, if you don't buy it, maybe that will create enough of a groundswell. Like what's happened with microtransactions and stuff, enough people got annoyed at them that companies literally removed them from their games or changed their strategy. But I guess they're like, yeah, well, the game's good enough and you might be annoyed by it, but you're still going to buy it.
That's the thing.
Which
it's
is
like,
very cold and calculated.
Yeah, I think they've crunched the numbers and just gone, well, who do we think is most likely to buy this? Probably people that never played one back in the day. So for them, it doesn't really matter if it's remastered. You know, like a remaster matters most for people who've already played it back in the day and want to go back in. So they've probably
just updating it.
Well, I mean, it is standards. When the second one being a prequel and it does lead directly into the events of the first one.
Yeah, it does.
It's similar to like The Last of Us Part One thing where they're like, these games are both tied together so intrinsically that it just makes sense to be able to like play one and then roll straight into the next one and have them look consistent.
I think that was part of it too, is that some of that landmass is already in two.
Yes.
So like
it's there.
People were looking at that and thinking, well, it would be doable, I suppose. But yeah, it would be a bigger project and whatever. But
And I guess like Naughty Dog are like, well, our gamble says, our probability says, if you do it really, really well, it'll sell even more than just having it there.
Well, and then their gamble too was, we'll redo it and then it costs the same price as a brand new game and it won't work well on the PC. It's rarely done super well, but then you get like Dead Space or Resident Evil 4 and stuff where they put like a huge amount of effort into it.
And
that are almost like new games.
A fresh game,
I think the weirdest thing about
that's from the point of view that it will make them money.
Absolutely.
But it is a worse standard of product than many other companies make currently.
Right.
It is strange that after the debacle of them re-releasing those GTAs, that they are still prepared to do things that are just going to add to that pile of bad will that they have. I think the weirdest thing about it, like I can understand, like, you know, crunching the numbers and looking at the time and money it's going to take you to do a full remaster and decide that it's not worth it. But what's weirdest to me is like releasing it now. I don't get like it seems weird to not do it closer to when 2, because when 2 was announced, I was like, I really want to play 1. I never played it.
Right.
You can't really get it easily on anything. It's weird when all you're doing is just shuffling it across to just sit on it for this long and do it now. Is the strange thing. It would have been nicer to have it come out around. Like I would have loved to have quickly gone in on it before playing 2.
I think that's part of it as well. Right? It's that like, well, if this could have been done in 2017 to the same degree, then how come it's 6 years after 2017?
Right. Yeah.
Why have I got all these gray hairs? What have you done to me, Take Two? Yeah, I don't know. It's I do think that it is probably a bit rich, but also I paid $70 for Pikmin 1 and 2, which are GameCube games.
And the
fucking fonts in those games, I forgot to say this ever when we were talking about them, they've stretched out some of the fonts down the bottom of the screen just to widescreen it. Fucking hate that shit.
That's no good.
But look, all that aside, I never played 1 and it's out next week.
And I'm
looking forward to finally being able to play it.
Like, I recommend you buy it.
I'm going to. Just reading all the stuff of people being mad, I'm like, well, I am the target audience.
Right.
Like, I never played it. Like I said, looking at the trailer, I'm like, this doesn't look like a PS2 game or anything. Like, it doesn't look too rough around the edges. Like, yeah, I'm looking forward to going in.
A fool and his money are soon parted, in my opinion.
Although, I wonder if it's going to, I wonder if it's going to launch and have the issues that, you know, the GTA. That would be something.
Surely they've been careful of that. Have to imagine that, like, because those were the worst that's been done.
Pretty much ever.
Surprise of, you know, kind of ending up looking forward to them trying it out, and like the disbelief I felt at how bad of a job they'd done.
I was in the target audience. I'd never played them. I was like, oh, this will be great. And then being like, this is some of the worst stuff that's ever been.
Those like AI up-resed textures where the words were spelt wrong. Like it was,
music
it was
crazy. Missing. Yeah. And then on the Switch, it was even worse. That is the thing. I'm a little like,
if you wiggled back and forth, if you like drove along and wiggled your car back and forth, it would constantly get wider and wider and wider until it just filled the whole screen. Like there was insane stuff with those that it really did seem like, before people were talking about it quite as much, they're like, AI made this game.
Right.
Turned out bad. But so it's a good game. And if you've never played it, like if decide if it's worth $50 to you.
Yeah.
If you've got an Xbox, you can probably get it cheaper. And well, if that you've is got a PS3, you can get it cheaper. You know,
yeah, like, the Xbox version, apparently you can do it 60 frames, which that, is the other thing where people are like, well, it's not even as... This is not even as good as the Xbox version, which is just... The original version.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Which I believe was a patch they kind of had to implement rather than it just being because of the backwards compatibility alone, I think. I might be wrong about that. So, yeah, it's a weird one, but it will make them enough money to suck the goodwill.
Mm. I get the sense that it's like all hands on deck with GTA 6. And then there's just like, then there's just like two people left that are in charge of stuff like this, and they're not like they're not savvy enough to be working on the big game, so they're just left alone to be like, oh, let's put this out, and then
they're like they're copying the files onto Blu-rays one by one and sending them out. It's like, we can't edit it. We're not programmers.
Yeah. We're the two people who are doing this. We also happen to be the wealthiest people at the company. So we said $50 thinking that that meant nothing to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Groceries for a month.
Or Red Dead.
Yeah.
Choose back in the day.
I'm pumped.
Red Dead was the last game I remember being involved with a broken street date in shops big thing.
Yeah.
Where
right.
I think it was like, I remember the rumors going around like, EB's doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
EB's
I remember
fucking selling them.
Being on bloody Whirlpool forums and stuff like that. Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that recently. Like, I was in a JB Hi-Fi like maybe 3 days before Tears of the Kingdom came out. And I just got really excited.
Camping out, setting up your little tent.
I was just walking through there and just it popped into my head. I was like, what if it's just on the, you know what I mean? What if I've just found some like random don't give a fuck JB where they're like the people running it are like not tapped into games at all. Like, and I really, I really miss that, like the joy of just randomly walking past a shelf and being like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
These dumb motherfuckers have put this game out a week early.
That's the only time it happens now is if like someone doesn't know what they're doing, which most people do now.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll see people be like, I got it early because a friend opened the box.
Well, I think I've mentioned I'm reading the book Console Wars at the moment, and they talk in that about how Sonic 2, part of the marketing for that was like, we're going to have this be the first game that has a release date. Because before that, it was like, stuff would just get shipped to stores. It's like, I just put it on the shelf when you get it. And there's no, you know, the people aren't on the internet or anything. People aren't like tapped into like when stuff is meant to come out.
Mm.
So them just being like, we are going to create a release date for a video game. And people being like, damn, dude, you're crazy.
It's never going to work.
It's never going to work.
Well, when's International Mario's Day then? If Sonic's get one.
Because, yeah, I mean, the price thing, tying into that this week, they announced that they're bringing the Ninja Turtles to Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
wasn't that long of a bucks where they've released a 7.
Yeah.
How long have I been asleep?
I couldn't remember if it was 6 or 5 or anyway.
Yeah, we're up to 6.
So they poached them from
They were in Mortal Kombat last time.
Mortal Kombat
or Injustice.
Injustice.
Was it?
Injustice. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, it's not even...
They've headhunted the turtles.
Oh, my God.
Giving them a signing bonus. Oh,
I can't believe the turtles would do that to Netherrealm.
Yeah.
It's so shellfish of them.
It is funny how
they're
it's
not shellfish.
Yeah.
I do love how we get every 6 years we have another crack at the turtles. You know? They come back around. There'll be a new movie.
It's weird.
Popping
how many
up in
times?
Games and shit.
Yeah.
But this is not even that... I think it's not even the actual... It's like a costume, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even actually play as...
Right.
You're just dressing up Ryu as Donatello.
Yeah, all of the, like, or the majority of the DLC stuff is just costumes for existing characters.
Yeah.
I haven't
like
actually looked at any
emotes
of the Turtles
and shit.
Ones.
And this is, like, more than the base game
if
to
you,
play as the Turtles.
So, I've never really interacted with a lot of the microtransaction stuff in Street Fighter 6 yet because, you know, I tend to block that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that you can earn fight points or whatever to buy stuff eventually, but it's such a slow rate that you can't.
Right.
And
right.
If you were to buy all of the Turtles stuff, it would be $100 US, 2 Red Dead ones.
Yeah.
God damn.
That's a lot. That's only 60.
Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah.
It's really
long.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That Arthur guy, great
baby.
Character.
It's a heap of fucking money. Yeah. But you're right. And,
and you're not even playing. But it's like a costume. You're not even actually playing as the Turtles.
No, it's the same as like you were saying before where people will still buy it.
Yeah.
That whole
whale
thing that's been around, I mean, forever because it's human psychology, but also...
Blue whales are the oldest, largest living mammal.
Are they the oldest?
I don't know. I made that bit up because...
They're so big, maybe. They probably have short lifespans, I guess. The bigger you get, the far harder they fall.
No.
How long does a blue whale live?
100 years.
You reckon?
I wish I could look it up.
I know.
Our phones are being used.
All right.
Put that fucking coffee down and get on the ones and twos, please.
How long does a blue whale live?
Yeah. Yes.
Because the whale thing in mobile gaming bled into the transaction microtransaction stuff. And like in Diablo 4, it's crazy expensive how much the stuff in there costs. It's like $25 a pop.
Yeah, I was just going to say as well, like, so I still play Marvel Snap and I don't pay for anything.
Right.
But you can pay, like there is a bundle on there that costs $130.
And that's very typical these like coin packs.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's credits and stuff. And it's like, well, 1%. Of the user base would buy those.
But that's all they need?
Yeah. Mm.
Get that freak.
And like, I'm not angry that it's there. I just am not going to buy it.
Yeah. Mm.
You know,
you
sound angry. You sound really mad.
I'm angry at you for not getting to this blue whale thing
quicker. 80 to 90 years.
Oh.
So humanish.
So you met a really healthy blue whale.
Estimated. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn. They eat well. You know, it's just a lot of seafood.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
They're on the seafood diet.
Buy these and I'm not interested. What does that mean?
They're seafood.
I don't want to eat a blue whale.
Oh, I would like to.
Fucking fuck you, man.
They're still serving them up in Japan.
Mm. Blue whales?
Well, probably not.
I reckon a blue whale would elude even the harshest hunter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm, blue whale, holy grail.
Yeah.
Some kind of whales.
People eat whale. People eat up these microtransactions too.
They sure do.
Because it does work. So as much as it like would be nice for them to have it be a lower price so everyone can get their turtle fix, not enough people want their turtle fix to make that make sense. So it's commercially accurate.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to zoom out. And as we often say, you're talking about a luxury hobby.
Right.
It's like someone being like, This is expensive and a ripoff in their room surrounded by Funko Pops. It's like, you've got disposible income.
Yeah. We're living in the wrong society if you want everything to be fair, I guess
it makes the most sense to me when it's like, well, you can get the equivalent thing in different games for less. So they are going above the market price for the product, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is always when it's like, oh, that feels gougy.
Sure.
But
especially when in this case.
Then it's like, then don't participate and they'll have to rebalance their thing
change
to the other games.
Get in there, change the culture. That's what I'm about.
Especially in this case when it's like there's a physical version coming in like October or something.
Right.
But the initial launch, it's like it's all digital. So it's like... Of Red Dead.
Oh, right.
So it's like...
I was gonna say, of the turtle costumes?
Like, even if all you're doing is porting it and you're like, re-releasing it and putting it on shelves, it's like, oh, why is it this much? It's like, well, because there's manufacturing costs and all that comes into it. But when it's like, yeah, it's digital only to begin with, it's like, well, then make it... You know what I mean? Like,
that stuff's always backwards here, where the physical version is significantly cheaper than the digital version
of
every game that comes out here, unless you go buy it at EB, who are just like... We'll get them.
Yeah.
If they don't walk into a JB, they'll never know that it's more
EB
here.
EB really are slaves to the recommended retail price.
Oh, they love it.
JB say, you can take that recommendation and shove it. We're here to smash. I came here to do two things. Chew bubblegum and smash prices.
Well, you know why? If you want to get real. EB,
I want to be fake as long as possible.
EB has the price match. So they will price match.
Oh, yeah.
But they also only sell video games.
Yeah, true.
Well, they sell all the t-shirts and bullshit now, I guess, is like so much of that. But yes.
Like that's their business, whereas JB, a game can be a loss leader almost. Because
they're
selling
a Dyson on the way out.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would be why they can do it. But fuck, I don't buy a Dyson every time I go in. I buy cheap video games.
Video games cost me so much, but I got a lot of great vacuum cleaners.
I bought my Dyson at JB. the day Tears of the Kingdom came out.
Oh.
And I walked in there and the guy took a look at me and went, Zelda?
Actually, it's Link.
Well, speaking of Dyson, do you want to start talking about the big Dyson game?
The thing that doesn't suck.
It does not suck at all. I don't think it blows.
Yep.
I think it is a high quality product, much like I imagine a Dyson would be. I've never been up to Dyson level of life.
I lived with someone who bought a Dyson vacuum cleaner, and let me tell you, it sucked and blowed.
The dream.
It blowed. I don't think it's meant to do that.
I hacked it.
Getting a prank Dyson for someone would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Blows it straight up into their face.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.
What's that the sound of? Me opening my fly, getting ready to bzzz my hairs off my pubes.
Yeah.
What's that the sound of? It's the sound of the fly in my bathroom wondering why I haven't used my products from Manscaped in a while.
Oh.
The fly says, I know I'm dirty, but this guy's a grub.
Yeah.
He's not using them enough because they are clean and good products for keeping your personal hygiene, hair related,
yep,
and other in check. They make a bunch of stuff, conditioner for your hair.
Yeah,
shampoo
true.
For your hair.
Shampoo for your, balm for your balls.
They make ball balm, they make ball beard balm, they make all sorts of stuff. But the big boys, the Lawnmower 4.0,
yep,
right up front, your main chopper.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You've got the new beard hedger.
Oh, I've been using that.
Hedging that beard?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Nice.
You threw out a wild guess, but it happened to be dead on.
I'm waiting for them to bring out the Bet Hedger. But I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Wait and see how that pans out.
Yeah. They got the ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yes, that's right.
The weed whacker.
2.0.
Yeah. Mm.
A whole bunch of stuff that you can go and have a look at for yourself and see what looks good to you. And I'm willing to bet it'll be a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
Go to Manscaped and use the code FILTHY.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you get?
I do.
Tell me.
Okay, 20% off and free shipping.
Damn.
This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm a genius. He's a pro.
You'll be back tomorrow night for sale of the century, please.
But that's right, manscaped.com, and put in the code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping.
I believe that is how it goes.
That is how it goes. And you know, another thing that goes.
Okay.
The internet.
Damn, yeah. I wish it had stopped sometimes.
Me too.
But if you're going to be using it, which these days you are, a good way to do that is with the services provided by NordVPN.
Well, if you want the internet to stop for a little bit, you could get on Nord. You could get on your VPN through Nord, and you could set your location to China, and then you won't be able to access most of the sites that are making you unhappy.
Bring in if I could turn on instead of being in another country, which is useful, and it's what NordVPN does, and it's got multiple applications, but if they could make it so that I was looking at the internet at another time.
Oh,
the way back machine setting.
They must be cooking that up in the Nord lab.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
That's
things
gotta
exploding
be
in people's faces, making their hair go all crazy.
Marty!
Marty, the internet is fucked up now, Marty. Unless you use NordVPN, Marty.
Marty, I'm watching This Time with Alan Partridge on the BBC.
Marty, it's your kids. They're subscribed to a competing VPN plan, which doesn't have the same deal from Nord, which is a great deal if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy.
Yeah, you get 4 months free if you sign up for a 2-year plan using nordvpn.com/filthy. It gives you the deal already if you go to that URL, and it's a deal that you only get thanks to us and NordVPN.
nordvpn.com/filthy. Go there right now. What are you, chicken? Nobody calls me chicken. It's another Back to the Future thing, but people don't remember the chicken bit as much.
No. Young Australians have never been more lonely, yet loneliness is rarely discussed and often misunderstood. Season 2 of the We Are Lonely podcast is a part of Medibank's 10-year commitment to reduce chronic loneliness in Australia.
Follow the journey of four diverse 20-somethings on their search for connection.
It's shocking enough to know that half of us will feel lonely this week, but it may surprise you more to learn that young adults are some of the loneliest people in Australia.
If we learn to understand and manage feelings of loneliness, it can be a normal part of the spectrum of human emotions.
Just as we all get hungry or thirsty, we all get lonely. It's a normal part of being human.
But if it becomes chronic, it can have the same impact on us as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Over this 6-part reality podcast series, 4 young people meet with mentors and experts who will help them build strategies to reconnect.
Through their stories, we understand the reality of loneliness in Australia, experienced by a generation that theoretically has never been more connected.
Follow four vastly different young adults as We Are Lonely unpacks the complexity of emotions that come with this formative period in our lives.
We Are Lonely is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Search for We Are Lonely and listen today.
We've been playing, myself and Ben.
Yes.
Jay, have you been playing anything that you want to talk about before we get into BG?
No.
Okay.
Big Giant.
Big Giant game. Very good.
Oh,
very good.
It's Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
It was the ninth highest ever concurrent player count on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
This game has done very, very well.
For the gates.
For a... Excuse me? For a single player game, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know what the top eight above it are. I think it was number nine at some
point.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
it
I read that.
Knocked out
yeah.
Apex Legends.
Right. Right.
And the stuff above it is like Counter-Strike.
Right.
And,
yeah, a lot of free-to-play stuff, I assume. Yeah,
Dota, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So a lot of you all would have been playing it too.
Yes.
So you don't need us to tell you it's cool. So yeah. See you later.
We should just do that every week.
Yeah.
Either you're not playing it, you don't care, or you are and you already know. Yeah. Goodbye.
Well, we do have patron opinions, which I've just realized your phone is out of commission, Ben, so Tommy will have to dig them up as well.
The blue whale of the group will have to. But, yeah, so I played the early access release of it. I played that for about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm just up to where I got up to.
Are you zooming through it? Because I remember when you were saying that you've been playing the early access thing, you're like, yeah, I kind of did the main story in 8 hours. I've played it for 30 and I've just moved on to the second area sort of.
Oh, really?
I'm gobbling this shit up.
Well, maybe. Maybe I was. I thought that I like saw all that I could see. Maybe I didn't do every single like sub quest.
Right.
But I certainly like saw the whole area and did all of the main quests and got to the point where they're like, hey, to get any further on your thing, you got to go over here.
Yeah, go like clean up any tasks. It gives you that notification thing.
Yes, yep.
Man.
And which I've just got up to again, and I've only played it like 6.5 hours this time.
That's wild. You are speed racing through this.
Yeah. And now I've got to that and there it's been like, you are far below the required level or recommended level. Yeah. Right.
Well, EB style, you better get up to that recommended level.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should say, I guess, if you didn't know, there's been an early access for ages. It was meant to come out at the end of the month and they moved it up on PC.
Yes. Yes.
So in this state, I will say my only real problem with the game so far, just to get it out of the way, is that it does still have quite a lot of buggy stuff in it.
Mm.
It is, not massive yet. I've seen people saying that like by act three or whatever it is a lot buggier and there's like game breaking stuff of like this quest won't complete because I picked up this letter way earlier and stuff like
right.
And that is kind of sometimes the nature of this game, that it is so complex that it occasionally will have some problems with that stuff. But I've had things like characters being like unusable because they think they're still in a conversation while the rest are in combat.
I've noticed a couple of those, yeah.
Just people kind of jumping and jerking around when they're like changing animations and stuff. A lot of it pretty minor and a lot of it solvable with like save and reload or whatever.
Right.
But worth saying that like we'll talk about this game and it is a massive game and it is one of those big investment things. And if you hold off, they probably will patch this stuff up. So don't feel like you're missing out, I guess.
And it's hugely improved from early access to this.
Right.
Like, just like when you would go to camp, you would like see a loading screen, it would like flash and you'd see all of your like characters in the previous area. And like, it really sort of like not finished sort of processes sort of things where you'd be like, yeah, this is not a finished game yet.
And there's a touch of that hanging around still.
Yeah.
From here to there. But
can you guys please tell me what this game is?
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way so we don't have to talk about it again so that I can spend so long saying how good this game is.
Right.
This game is like, it is a top-down isometric kind of, but you can move the camera, role-playing game in the style of the sort of turn of the century PC role playing games, mm-hmm. like your Baldur's Gate, like your Baldur's Gate 2.
Surely that gives you enough information, Tommy.
I somehow know less now than when I asked.
If you've never played a game like this before, for you, Tommy, who mm-hmm. has played some RPGs, if you imagine like Mass Effect, but with sort of tactical combat along the lines of a Mario and Rabbids or whatever, mm-hmm. that's what you're looking at.
Okay. Yeah.
With a really influenceable world where yes. your choices have big impacts.
Right.
It's not just a conversation where you're like, say something mean or say something nice. It's like, no, like you can just, like what you say to this character in your party can decide whether they fall in love with you, whether they respect you as a leader, whether you kill them in that moment, whether they'd leave the party. Mm. And that applies to kind of everything in the game. Right. All the quests, all the sub quests.
Depending on what like race and class and all that stuff you chose, you might get extra options in dialogue because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You might have something go one way or the other because you fail or succeed in like an ability check.
Mm.
And it has the coolest thing about this game and the biggest reason why I think it's like special is because it has all of these splitting off different directions and every single one of them so far has been satisfying.
Right.
So every success or failure state is just as much just as interesting of a story progression as each other.
Right, right.
To my experience so far. And yeah. I've done a couple of things where I've gone back and gone, I wonder how that would have gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And flipped back like 20 minutes and gone and redone it the other way. And it's been significantly different.
Yeah.
Both equally interesting to me.
Okay.
And it's like a fucking feat in that.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Tarantino would love it.
Oh, dude. When he got to like level 3 or whatever, you get your first feat, he'd be like, okay, here we fucking go. Okay, now we're fucking talking here. Okay, because
let's hold on this for a while.
Because I'm a GIF Yankee, you see, right? So the GIF Yankee.
And so yeah, it's a fantasy world. It's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep.
Yes.
Like it's literally, right? Like it is characters and settings and all the races, all of the like spells and every, you know, literally everything.
The rules and the game and everything. It is as much of a simulation of like playing that tabletop game
mm-hmm.
as possible, to the extent where it feels like the computer has a pre-programmed great imagination,
yes.
like a really good dungeon master.
Okay.
Mm.
and that it's just so fucking cool that it is getting across what I would imagine if I'd have ever had people around me, it would feel like to play a real role-playing game, but in a computer form, in a way that is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think, I like love often in other games, other RPGs, like the level of customization that you can do, the level of immersion that provides you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, all of it, everything, all of the best ways that you can customize and differentiate and different weapons, different spells, different mm-hmm. armor, the way that you combine them.
Four penis choices
yeah.
at the beginning.
Yeah.
You've got two of each type of either cut or uncut.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. Take your pick of penis.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have a smaller one?
I can't be truly immersed. but yeah, also like I think having played D&D before, you know, you only experience what you experience within that campaign. But this is like, oh no, there's a bit of everything. There's like, yeah, like there's the Gith Yankee. There's like tieflings. There's halflings. Mm. There's fucking the humans, half elves. And there's like there is a concrete overarching story.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not just kind of like a, you know, procedurally generated.
Right.
Oh, if you say this to this person, we'll give you this option.
No, yeah. It's all super pre-made,
yeah,
but there's much of it that it feels like it is responding to you in a really organic way.
Yes.
Right. I read in our Discord, one of our patrons, Punished Spagoo, saying that
you've been called out, Punished Spagoo.
I chuckle every time I read that name.
Yeah, it's a great username.
Yeah.
He's got the elephant Mario as his profile pic at the moment.
His address is.
It's a wonderful account. They were saying that the story engine feels similar to the Tears of the Kingdom physics engine, where
oh,
it's like
sure, yeah.
you can sort of do anything and it's so reliable and it never like, you know, you can you can try your best to break it, but it's just not going to happen. And how it's the same kind of sounds like, what you're saying with this, with the like branching paths and stuff. It's like nothing is going to rattle it. If something's meant to happen, but you've killed off a certain person or whatever, it's going to find a way to bring it in another way.
And that's
through
the thing,
person.
Like, you can get a character killed, you can end up failing something, you can fuck stuff up, and like that will be failed. It's not like it'll go, oh, but actually we can go and do this and help them. Like, you can fuck it up, but it will account for that. So it will still feel bad to fuck something up. But you're not going to, well, until maybe later in the game, break the game with it or break the storytelling with it, which is the biggest thing that it's doing, is being this like story simulator. In the start, it's like The Witcher or something like that, where it's like this grubby old fantasy world, and everything's all fucked and everyone's tired.
Everyone's mad at each other and
so
being
problems.
Selfish.
Of these tentacle guys, they're all out for blood.
It
does, like, when you go in, there's like a small sort of introduction area, and very quickly, I had a bit of whiplash from at the start because it is not long before everyone you're traveling with is like, you are the best friend I've ever had in my life. Like, we met... We've slept once since we met. I know how long it's been, and you're real clingy. But
you did go through a traumatic experience together.
You did.
But I also agree, it's weird.
It gets
a fair bit of that recently. I feel like we've talked about this a bit in a few different... There was that Marvel game.
Yeah.
There's definitely in Fire Emblem Engage. Like, oh, it's just such an honor to be serving alongside the great dragon. I love you.
Totally. And you can piss them off to the same extent too. But... And I suppose that is also just an element of what these kind of role-playing games are like IRL. Because you've got to get it moving.
Exactly.
You know.
And either it doesn't matter because you're all friends in real life who have decided to play a game together. Or like I was talking to someone who plays D&D and they were like, I joined an existing campaign. So, you know, in the reality of that campaign, they're like, oh, we just stumbled across this person who's in trouble and we decided to save them and now they're our friend.
Yeah. It's not going to be fun to sit around a table being like, well, we don't really know you, so no.
Just like, let's have a few more long conversations where we can suss each other out and then we'll go on an adventure.
And like the fact that every character is so horny, if you want them to be.
But
also can, you know, you could, it, depending on what choices you're making, they can be like, no, we're work friends. An adventure is
Or you
work.
Can be like, I actually disapprove of a lot of the things that you do, but look, it's better for us to travel together because, you know, we're in danger.
It is super tempting to, because you can quick save at any time and then go back and reload very easily and like redo a dice roll or whatever so that you succeed. Don't do that. At least on this game, it's massive, so it seems daunting to be like, you can replay it and do that. But I reckon the best way to go through this is to just play it as it lies and see what happens, because so far it's given me no reason to doubt that it will have something for me. Whatever takes place. And I think that is the most interesting way to do it right now, because it is building this like customized emergent story for you that is so well written, so well acted. All of the voice acting is great. A lot of your classic like, oi, what are you looking at? A lot of those guys here. But,
hey, I'm a mean lady and I'm going to be mean to you.
Oh, yeah, you reckon you want to come in a goblin cap, do you? Well, answer me these questions, Freedon.
I'm a creepy man and I'm going to give you a choice between two things.
I'm a weird book. Open me. But it's like that around every corner, there, the thing is so dense with interesting and creative stories, some of which of course fall into very stereotypical fantasy type things of like, damn, is this amulet fucking cursed? But it's doing most of it with such a sense of fun that I'm loving that about it too, that it has the, it's colorful and it's got a sense of humor often, and it is just so engaging and Moorish. Like, I want to see what is everywhere here and I want to talk to everyone, and all of the characters have been interesting who you travel with so far.
Yeah.
I'm fucking loving this thing, dude. Seven out of ten.
I'm going to have to play this goddamn game.
Because then the other thing is, when you start fighting, it's a really well-made, like, tactical strategy kind of game.
So
it's turn-based?
Yes. Yeah, so you'll walk up, and then it'll be like, maybe a little buggy sort of, you know, jitter, but then it'll be like, you're in combat now. And so it'll be like, it'll do an initiative roll in the background. So it's like, okay, we've figured out an order. The order may be you, one of your characters, two enemies, two of your, you know, just sort of
you'll see it
decides.
Along the top. Yeah. They'll have little pictures.
And then, based on what character classes and stuff that you've got in your party, I'm playing as a wizard, so... You know, but you'll give each character like a melee weapon and a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, I've got these little minor spells that I can do at any time, little fireball, whatever. You'll have once per day, and you can reset the day kind of whenever you want. Bigger spells.
But if you do reset the day, sometimes time will progress and something will happen.
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful when you do it.
Yes. But you'll get like... A sick ass spell, and so you're like, oh, should I use it in this little bit of combat, or should I wait because I think this is just near the start of a quest line and I might want to get to, mm-hmm. you know. But you could do ranged spells and like spells of effect, give people shields and stuff like that. It all takes, doing each thing takes a action of some kind.
You've got an action and a bonus action, and then you get sort of supplementary things depending on the class, like these superiority dice mm-hmm. for fighters, for example, which mm-hmm. like will be involved in some of your bigger attacks. It'll roll one of them as well, but you've got a set number of them per rest and so on.
And you all, you have movement as well, obviously, and it's different based on, I think, like... skill points and stuff like that, right? Like, the more dexterity you have, the more you can walk and shit. It's basically, move and attack or attack a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it will cycle through, you or your opponents. And, the way that you combine all the abilities and spells and, you know, weapons of your party, you can do it better, you can do it worse, you can figure it out as you go. I mean, you'll have to, but there's so much depth to it that you're like, well, okay, I can just have a healer and I can have a attacker. I can have like melee attackers and a ranged person, or everyone can be crazy wizards, or, mm-hmm. you know, like you can kind of figure out the way that you want to approach combat, the way that approaching combat may work, you know, generally is something you figure out as you go,
mm-hmm.
but it's so up to you basically.
Totally. Cool. It's got this really great like improvisational feel.
Yeah.
Like I'm traveling with, this one of my characters, Colin Mockery, is like really good at
What is he good at, Colin Mockery?
I wish I'd have chosen Wayne Brady because he has a specific. He's a bard.
Yeah.
Colin Mockery's just like a background character.
He's good at the hoedown.
That's the thing. Sure. But Wayne can't be beaten in the hoedown. But anyway, you can really interact with the environment. Like you can throw a chair at someone if you want and that will take an action. And it is such a direct translation of like the Dungeons and Dragons rules, where like that whole thing is you're able, because you're just talking to a person, to be more creative than most games let you be, because you can say, well, can I climb up this wall and then pull the candelabra off the ceiling and drop it on their head?
Yep.
But the game is so thought out that a ton of those candelabras are objects. And if there's like a big lever that pulls, makes a hammer drop nearby, if you're in the Tom and Jerry part of the world,
believe it or not, if you pull that hammer, I mean, if you pull that lever, that hammer drops. And there'll be like, you know, little, instead of a candelabra, maybe there's like a little hanging fire thing. And you're like,
brazier.
Well, I'll shoot that with an arrow. It's going to fall on that guy's head and he's going to go on fire. And you do that kind of stuff.
But whenever you like, because so much of it is based on dice rolls and stuff, it you have to improvise as it goes. And it's done in this way that doesn't feel, you know, in like an XCOM or something, if it'll be like you've got a 95% chance of hitting and then you miss, you're like, well, fuck off.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have happened. I'm never feeling like that here.
Okay.
Whatever's happening is happening. And I'm like, damn, get over here, my other friend. You got to come over. We're best friends, I know. You got to come over here. And now the whole plan has changed because that missed.
Right. Yes.
I'm loving that about it as well, because like it's so physical. too. Yes. Like where you're standing and where you can move to and where the other people are. It all matters, and it's all stuff to take into account in a very natural feeling way.
Okay.
I saw it, like I was reading, because yeah, I got up to this bit at the end of that area, and it was obviously like the fight is obviously too hard for me.
Right.
But I was like, oh, what am I meant to do here? And I just read like a comment being like, having the higher ground in this game is more important than having better weapons, better armor, better, you know, because it's like, yeah, in real life, that accounts for a huge element of priority and advantage.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Can't
yeah.
drop an anvil on someone who's above you.
No, that's true.
I've been playing Tom and Jerry's game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, well, if you're strong like me, you pick the anvil up and throw it up. It's really easy.
The person sees it coming up and goes, wow, and then they faint out of respect.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that sort of stuff is important, yep. if you're using like a spellcaster or a ranged person.
Yeah.
But then if, you know, if you're a fighter, you're getting up there in the muck. Mm. Yeah. And you've got some abilities that might be able to like scare the enemy, and like then they'll
yes.
not be as effective for a while, or you can disarm them and then pick up their sword and fucking throw it away.
Mm.
You can kick them off of a fucking ledge.
Yeah.
You
can I've been kicked off a ledge so many times.
I got kicked into some fucking lava.
Yeah.
And let
me
tell you, I hated it.
Owie.
Yeah. It really made me mad.
I had this great fight where like I'd sort of figured it out. I thought I'd figured it out. I had the higher ground. I had all my spells had been recharged. You know, I was ready to roll, picking everyone off. All the enemies are like getting quite low on health. And I decide to like, yes, kind of take a proactive, you know, move a bunch of my fighters towards them as opposed to holding back. And after I do that, one of the enemies, who happened to be like a mage sort of guy, is like, I'm going to pull that statue, that giant statue that was just part of the room, onto you.
Yeah.
And it's going to kill both of those people who just happened to be standing there.
That shit's great.
I didn't see that coming.
And that's the thing. It's all such well-built systems interacting with each other that it creates these unpredictable things that usually pan out in the way where you're like, yeah, damn, I guess that statue would have fucking bonked me.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. It's so natural feeling. The whole time you're doing everything, it feels like there's not been dialogue choices often where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't say any of this shit.
Mm.
There's usually something there where I'm like, yeah, that's what this fucking
dog would say. Oh, that's Noxy, all right.
I can't emphasize enough what an achievement of a fucking game this is. Because it is doing stuff that a ton of games have done, especially ones like 20 years ago that this is inspired by. And it's doing it like significantly better than almost any game ever.
Yeah. Well, it's so complex, but it all works somehow.
Yeah.
I think also, like, visually there are some glitches and some bugs, but also the level of detail on character models especially, I think is really, really impressive.
It's nice. They're usually like, it's crazy the amount of like seemingly custom or whatever you'd call it, like specific animations for what they're saying, because often they'll be gesturing exactly right for what they're saying.
Yes.
It won't just be someone moving their hands up and whatever and talking. They'll be like, yeah, this fucking goblin over there, and they'll point and shit. Like,
yeah,
The amount of that makes it feel crazy.
Mm. Yeah, right. Should we get into some patron?
Yeah.
Feedback?
Sure. I just want to say again, this is a good game. And I really think as well, because like it's such a complex and massive thing, it's worth pointing out that like it isn't overwhelming because it is so you can take it at such a slow pace if you want to.
Mm.
And there's so much good stuff at every point along the way that I don't think it needs to be as intimidating as it might sound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do think this would be a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's also worth pointing out because there's so much going on, but also like the crazy thing about it is how natural and logical it all feels.
Yes. And yeah, I think it introduces you, apart from that like actual intro bit before you like land in the world.
Yeah.
That next bit, the first sort of real quest or area that you go and get to, sets you up with a really interesting sort of series of choices and moral quandaries that are sort of clear while being very subtle and nuanced, if you want to approach it that way. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it sets you up with this sort of little microcosm of the game where it introduces you very well, and it's well-paced, and it's, yeah, like you say, it's not overwhelming. It's like, look, there's these people and these people. Maybe you can get them to work together. Maybe you can solve their problems separately. Maybe you don't have to solve either of their problems and you just go out after your own, you know, sort of goals. But here's a little setup. Have at it. And and it's a great way to, yeah, after literally throwing you into the world, let you sort of come to grips with how the game works and how the storytelling works and the branching paths work.
And if you just take your time with it and read the descriptions of what spells are and stuff, like, I do think, same with a lot of like RPGs and stuff, when you're making your character initially, you're not given enough context for what everything means.
Right.
It does assume a bit of, like, you know, what constitution is, right? So maybe that
it's
bit
a
is...
document that sets out the rights.
It's the only
of the
thing
people.
I respect. It's the only thing I love.
It's weird that you respect the Constitution so much, but the Second Amendment, which was a change, is really the favorite part of it for you.
When they started adding dexterity, that's when they lost me.
The right to bear flaming arms.
Oh, the right to fuck bears.
Oh yeah.
They're, okay. Everyone's so horny in this game.
Yeah. As is everyone who plays D&D. They're all in a polycule and they all fuck each other.
That's kind of they've simulated that.
They have. They truly have.
And so you can just kind of follow that main path, but like if you go and wander off and explore, there's a ton to do.
Yeah.
There's heaps of shit everywhere. So the game will adapt to how you want to play it, I suppose, is the thing. So like I could see people thinking, oh, maybe this is a bit much for me. I still reckon maybe you'd like it, whoever you are.
Mm.
Anyone in the world.
Anyone in the world.
Anyone.
You like stories?
Yeah.
Then go on.
Okay. From our Patreon, you can sign up and we do a bonus show about movies and TV shows and stuff every week. And also, yeah, when there's a big game, we do the call out to, get some listener reviews on here. Joe says, absolutely in love. Having a blast with my half-orc pissing everyone off. I brought it last year in early access, so I've stormed through Act 1, and boy, the freedom you have is immense. Haven't tried multiplayer, so I can't comment on that, but I'm looking forward to trying it. Had a few bugs and fallen out of the world twice, but nothing I can't overlook for the sheer amount of fun I'm having. The voice acting is great and had no cringe. I've had a few parts struggling with the graphics, but I think that's just me pushing my laptop too hard. I'm struggling to see how anything is going to knock this from Game of the Year spot for me. What else? Steve says, obsessed. It's truly remarkable how they've made your playthrough feel unique to your own character. My race, for example, seems to have given me free rein in areas others would not, meaning my story would already be so different to so many others. I'm only still at the beginning, taking my time and just excited to explore.
Hell yeah.
Wade says, between early access and full release, I have about 57 hours in. I'm having a great time, and as a tabletop RPG player for years, they do about the best possible job I can imagine recreating that feeling. My early access playthrough and this playthrough have been unique to one another because of different race, class, or dialogue choices. Additionally, it runs relatively well on the Steam Deck. Must be nice.
Oh.
Yeah. I think, yeah, if you like...
It's very scalable, it seems like, right? Yeah.
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 It was fucking heating the shit out of my computer at first, I think because it was like... have unlocked frames type of things,
right?
So generating
I did of, so what have I got, a 4060 Ti?
I think you've got a 3060.
A 3060, well, yeah. Yes, no, you're right. And like 20 gig of RAM, kind of an older processor, which I probably need to upgrade or update. But I'm playing it on like 1080p high, and right. And that's like perfectly smooth. I was running it at 1440 and it was a bit, you know, dodgy.
It's got the DLSS stuff, so I've got it at 4K. I'm on a 2070 Super and stuff, which is like probably roughly the same as a 3060,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And it's running fine. Like you can, you can absolutely get this running on anything. And then it'll come out on the PS5 in September.
Yeah.
And it will be on the Xbox probably early next year, they reckon now, for some reason. I'm not sure what the delay is in that. But also, you're not harming yourself by holding off for a little while because it's already had two small updates of just fixing some bugs, taking the fucking overlay of the version number off, which I appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Had that again, Dave the Diver style for some fucking reason.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Matthew says, The appearance choices are underwhelming, particularly limited in facial customization and no options to adjust once chosen. The camera is maddening, especially in tight combat situations, and could desperately use a Y-axis control, and inventory management is an absolute slog. This is also the best game I've played all year and possibly ever.
Yeah, I do think all three of those things are fair to say.
Inventory is okay because you can, like, if you hit tab, it opens all of four of your current characters, and you can just like mix and match shit to them and then send it to your camp.
I've found when I'm looking for something specific, just having the little icons, I'd like a list mode or something with the name of the icon of the item there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe because like I was looking for a bomb and fucking everything looks just like a little circle. So
yeah. Because you can sort by like maybe five values, but then
like the latest thing you've got is a good way to sort.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's useful. But it's very like around the year 2000 PC style stuff.
Yes.
And the whole game is where it's like it's what people back then thought the best game ever would be.
Right. Yes, and true. Diablo so 2, cool. But with RPG elements.
Dude, imagine if they made a Baldur's Gate 3. Well, we were saying it. Oh,
they
shit.
They done it.
I had a thought fly in and then fly
calling
out.
Calling it Baldur's Gate 3.
I do agree the camera in combat can be annoying because there's a bit where there's quite a bunch of like verticality to it. And I'm like, I've got a bow and arrow and there's a guy who's just shot at me, but I can't fucking get the camera to go up there.
Right. Mm. And you can click on their like character portraits up the top to attack them and shit, or you can like hold down Alt and it'll show you like the names of all the items in the world. So you can click on that to go get it rather than having to search around. Like it has a lot of that sort of stuff that is helpful, but then is also sort of awkward because it's like, oh, what? I think it was Shift C to crouch.
Yeah, sure.
You can also play it with a controller, and this is bizarre to me. Have you tried it with a controller?
No, I have not.
When you do, the fonts change to like this really wacky font. It's like this real, like, it's a very strange looking.
This is dumb, but that's really sold me.
It's like this like kind of jaunty, you know, like someone writing on a scroll or whatever, but in all caps. And so not like cursive sort of elf writing, like if a real meat and potatoes guy was writing on a scroll, which is very weird. And maybe you can change that. I didn't try the controller mode for long, but you can do that and then, move around with the controller.
It's zany font.
Seems fine for that. It's such a weird thing. Don't
You're
know
using
if you can
a controller.
Switch it.
You must be a real freak.
Entering baby mode.
Yeah, exactly. It's, only kids have controllers. Yeah.
But it seems like it's all the actions were... It seems like the controls were fine for that.
Right, yeah, right.
It was all a lot of like press a D-pad and then this button and whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this a go.
It's a fucking corker.
It's annoying when something
I've never seen
something unexpectedly coming along when it's like an indie or whatever is like, okay, a little 10-hour thing, but it's like something coming along that you had just like not budgeted the time for like a 100-hour thing is like
I held off on Persona 5 for a fair while, I think, back when that came out, because I was like, I cannot imagine having that much time.
I feel a bit like that at the moment, but yeah, this
I think
sounds very good.
And it is absolutely fine to play in any size chunk, is the other thing too. You can save at any time. Oh, it doesn't pause ever. Like, if you go into the options even in a conversation, the conversation will just keep going in the background.
Oh, that's weird.
That shit's bizarre. It has a co-op mode, which I haven't tried, but I assume that's why.
Right.
Because it's sort of built to be able to have that running. But that's kind of annoying sometimes.
Even when you press escape and go to like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but yes, you can. You just hit F5 all the time. Just constantly quick save. Just make sure you...
Right. And if you're in, you can enter the turn-based mode at any time.
Yeah, yes.
So that is a sort of a pause. But that's just a strange quirk that I imagine they might figure out later down the line. What was I fucking saying before that?
You said it was a great game.
Yeah.
I would say, you don't have to play
tune
it now.
Out after that.
But
you can eat it in small chunks.
Yeah,
And like, as long as you give it a crack before the end of the year, you probably will want to have, seen what it's like. Before we do our
This has
big...
been a damn good year.
Man,
this
yes.
might have been this might be one of the best years in a long time.
Holy shit.
I am
shit.
Going to have had with this and Tears of the Kingdom at least two games that I play for more than 100 hours.
Mm. Well, I'm sinking all of my spare time into Pikmin 4. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do everything. I want 100% the whole goddamn thing. I think I'm at 30 hours at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone back to the other areas and I'm trying to like 100% all them before I move on. Like we said the other week, it is bizarre how much of the game happens after the credits roll. The credits should not be there. It's not the end. It's not even close to the end of the game.
And they're not done right if they're meant to be a joke.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
They're just earnest. They're just done. They're just like...
It's sort of silly. It's similar to 2 did the same thing. I think 3 did a similar thing too, but just without as much on the back end.
Well, I think I kind of had the same thing weirdly with Red Dead 2 where it was like it ends and then it's got that post bit, but it's there's so much in that. And I just didn't... Yeah. I just didn't go back to it for ages because I kind of assumed I'd finished it and people kept going like, no, that bit's great. And there's like heaps of it.
Yeah.
It's sort of similar to that. It's got this like awesome thing that you discover, which mild spoiler for Pikmin 4.
With the L?
You're looking for a little guy.
Yeah.
In the game.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. And then the guy's got some stuff to do.
He's got some stuff to do.
Yeah.
It's a very classic Nintendo putting a little old thing hidden in a current thing.
Yeah.
It's a, really cool. I'm still finding, you keep unlocking, more new stuff to do. There is so much stuff in it. It's beyond just being, going through the campaign, there is so many extra little challenges and stuff to find and keep you busy.
There's they're all great.
Heaps in it, yeah.
The two of my favorite games I've ever played have come out within the last month. Pikmin 4 is one of them. Baldur's Gate 3 is the other. Oof. Massively recommend them both.
Oh, I did a bit more of that Disney Illusion Island too, and it's it's fun,
mate. There's better stuff. it was all right. I was enjoying that.
Yeah, it's an all right little game.
I thought that's what you meant with your favorite game of all time. Yeah. Disney Illusion Island.
That Mickey man. I can't wait for mods and shit to show up for Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Let me play as fucking Darth Vader and shit, man.
Oh, dude.
This would be a good one if it's possible to make it. Like, Neverwinter Nights, this whole thing back in the day was like, you can really easily make your own campaigns.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is
true.
Such a good Dungeons & Dragons system. Yeah, that if they found a good way to release a thing where, like, now go crazy.
Go crazy. Have a dungeon master who makes the campaign for you and all get on co-op and go, that'd be amazing.
None of it's going to be probably to the level of this campaign they've made, but the tools that they've got there that they have made this with, even though their game that they've made these tools with is sometimes broken.
Yeah.
That so maybe, but I would love for that sort of thing to happen one day. Mm. It's an all fucking timer. Cannot say enough good things about it, and I will not say enough good things about it. Strapping for another hour of me fucking saying how much I like these goddamn elves.
Yes.
I'm going to have to get it. All right.
It's good as hell, man. Mm. Do it. You ain't missing out if you wait, though, because it will. There's some stuff to fix.
Smoothed over, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do us for another week here on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for listening. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for links to all the stuff that we have going on. Mm-hmm. Get on the Patreon. Get the the different show that we do every week.
Yes.
Our little bonus episode, which is about, movies, TV, all the other stuff in culture that's not video games.
Sometimes little funny stories of things that we do that aren't even movies or TV shows.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah.
You'll like it if you like this.
Yep.
And we've got the, we've got heaps of stuff on the YouTube channel. We just did, Shadows of Doubt.
Mm. We played about an hour and a bit of, felt around a bit in that, trying to figure out how to play it almost. Mm-hmm. But it's sick. Very similar to Baldur's Gate 3 in that it's very huge and open and responsive, but I think he's literally procedurally generated that one.
Yeah.
But that was fun, us being three dumbass detectives.
Yeah. Check all that out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
hickory dickory dock, I got to choose my elf's cock. That's Andrew 20-sided dice
yes.
play.
Yes.
Woo! Yes.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.